Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Chilling with Cheese. I'm your host, Robert Cheese Gardner. We got a very good show for you guys today. I'm really excited about today's show. We have legendary trainer and boxer James Buddy McGuirk, who will be joining us in a few minutes. He'll probably take a few calls, so feel free to call in. Have a good time with him today. We'll discuss some how he got into the game, where he grew up, some of the toughest fights he ever had, and anything you guys would like to chat with him about. Also, we want to talk about some upcoming fights this Saturday. Timothy Bradley makes his way back into the ring against Jesse Vargas. Will be a very interesting fight for both guys. Jesse Vargas, who got rid of Roy Jones and now has Eric Morales as his trainer, which is very interesting. So we'll see how that goes down. Timothy Bradley, he's going to try to bounce back after a draw in his last fight. So we'll see how Desert Storm does. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to great conversation. See what you guys want to talk about. After the interview, the second half, we'll dedicate to whatever topic, sports topic, entertainment you'd like to talk about, whether it's the NBA draft, which will be a very hot topic today on all the sports shows I hear. Also, the baseball, the playoffs, well, not the playoff race, but the first half is heating up. I'd like to know what your team is doing. Also, the NFL. NFL is like a year-round thing, so you want to hit on that, we can hit on that, but very interesting show as I broadcast. I'm trying to make this show as credible as possible, and by doing that, I'm trying to bring on the best guests as possible. And as you know, the first week I had the great Larry Holmes. Last week I had Karen Mulvaney from HBO Sports, who's a fantastic guest in his own right. So try to keep the train moving with Buddy McGuirk, who's one of the most respected figures in the world of boxing. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope you guys really have enjoyed the first couple weeks. We'll see what we have in store. I'm just sitting here waiting. He should be calling in a few minutes, so I don't want to go too deep into any other topic and then, you know, he calls in. So while we wait, I'd just like to tap into, I hear that Floyd Mayweather has a couple of, it is laughable, he has a couple of opponents that he picked that he would like to fight. And one of them was great Oscar De La Hoya. Now, I'm a big Oscar De La Hoya fan. But the man is, well, we'll get back to it. We have, hey, Buddy, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, we have the great Buddy McGuirk. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule. I really appreciate it. Thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. I was just telling the callers that it's my third or fourth show, so I'm trying to get the best guess as possible. First week I had Larry Holmes, I had Karen Mulvaney, and I thought you would be a fantastic guest. So, yeah, again, man, I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, man. My pleasure.
All right. Now, you growing up in Long Island, what got you into the sport?
To be honest, man, when I was a kid growing up, I always wanted to do something with myself. You know, I've always loved sports. You know, I come from my brothers all play sports, and I had a cousin that was a, I have a cousin, rather, he was a professional boxer out of New Jersey. And when I used to go to his house, my uncle used to always be bragging, and he had a bunch of trophies. I wanted to give my mother something to brag about. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right.
So then after that, the rest is history, you know?
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I read where you said that your size had a lot to do with it, because a lot of people told you that you couldn't do it, and you were out to prove them wrong at a very young age. What got you into that mindset?
Well, you know, I'm young. I'm growing up, you know, the neighborhood where we had a hell of athletes coming up in my neighborhood, man, you know. And I started boxing, and I was small. I was always a small guy. And being, you know, I was 12 years old, I weighed like 70 pounds soaking wet, 65 pounds soaking wet. So when I said that this is what I wanted to do, you know, everyone was like, you know, come on, man, you're wasting your time, you're too small, you'll never be champ. You're going to be like everybody else around here in the neighborhood. Let me tell you, we had a hell of a lot of athletes in my neighborhood. Like boxers, basketball players, football players, right. Track, you name it, you know what I mean? But
right.
A lot of them wanted to hang out, you know? And
right.
I said, that wasn't for me, number one. And number two, I had a brother, God bless him, he's dead now, but he made sure I didn't stay in the streets.
That's right.
And if I hung out anywhere, everyone knew him and everyone knew my father. So it was a matter of, okay, if you go home, or we're going to tell your brother and your father that you're here. And I didn't want to deal with them. That was trouble.
That's right.
Oh, man. Now, was it any one particular person that pushed you into the gym and said, hey, man, I know you're little, but you got a lot of heart, and I think you'll do well in here? Was there like a specific guy who said, hey, man, I think you got something here?
You know what, to be honest with you, it wasn't. You know what, when I joined the gym, the truth is, when I joined the gym, there was a coach there, his name was Gene Moore. And I heard him tell one of the guys one day, this is the best kid I got. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
He said that, and there was a bunch of guys in the gym. He said, this kid's a natural. But I pretended like I wasn't listening.
Right.
And that was like a great feeling, being 12 years old. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To have a man who, you know, he was training professional boxers at the gym at the time. There was no kids, no whole program for kids. And he says that the program for kids, this is January 17th. This was December of 1975. January 76 was when they were going to let kids 12 and up box. But
okay.
January 17th is my birthday.
Right.
January 17th was the day I turned 12. So I felt there was something destined for me. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And I joined that day, and my mom bought my first pair of boxing gloves for my birthday.
Wow. Now, when you got into that, was she like a bit nervous as far as, hey, my baby getting into the ring, you know, I don't want to get hurt?
I really think she thought it was a phase I was going through.
Okay.
I really thought it was a phase. So, you know, she went along with it for a while, but then I started, you know, fighting. My first fight was February 21st, 1976. And she didn't come to that fight. I boxed 2 years before she came to see me fight.
Wow.
And when she got there late. And it was 5 minutes from the house.
Oh, my goodness.
She got
oh, man.
She said, I seen it. I'm like, no, you didn't, Mom. She said, yes, I did. I said, Mom, no, you didn't. So
oh, wow.
So then 2 years later, I fought on in the New York gloves. And my first fight in the gloves was on TV, on MSG. And she watched it. She sat on the bench. She watched it with a rosary in her hand, praying. And I scored the first round knockout.
Wow. Now, what was it? Like, now, what did she think after that? I mean, after she saw you knock him out in the first round, I mean, what was her reaction?
My reaction is you're taking your ass to college when you graduate high school.
I know that's right. Oh, my God.
You want me to go to college? I was supposed to go to college. But I got my girlfriend pregnant my senior year of high school. College is out the window. I mean, so I couldn't go. So I had to, you know, that's when I turned pro, my senior year of high school. My girlfriend at the time got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I thought I was going to be rich, but shit.
Right. Right. Now, when you got into the ring, and I guess before your first fight, and you were getting your feet wet in the gym, were there any, like, fighters that you try to emulate your style, or did you have any favorite fighters growing up at that time?
Okay. You know, everyone at the time in the 70s, favorite was Muhammad Ali. But
right,
I knew I couldn't be Muhammad Ali. But, you know, we had the same birthday, so I tried to fight like him in the gym, but the shit didn't work for me. So I said, okay, I can't be
right,
Ali.
Right.
Then I tried Joe Frazier. I said, nah, this shit ain't for me. And then we had a fighter in our gym. I'll never forget his name. His name was Georgie Fakarit. Georgie Fakarit.
Okay.
He was a Greek guy. He was a middleweight, welterweight Greek. And he was a pro fighter and a hell of a nice guy. And he used to give me, in the wintertime, he'd give me a ride home from the gym. You know what I mean? And I tried to fight like him, but he fought like Joe Frazier. I said, this shit ain't going to work for me either.
Right.
And one day, Vito DeFermo came down to the gym. When I walked him, I'm like, hell no, I'm not going to try that either. So I said, you know, buddy, we got to figure it out. So, you know, as time went on, you know, to be honest, I started reading boxing magazines about a lot of the old fighters. And I used to read the magazines and read how their styles were. And when I was in school, I would always go to the library and always get a boxing book. And then I would go to the public library in town. And I read about every boxing book in the public library. I probably stole about 100 pictures out of the books in the library. But, you know,
sure.
Take them for half a number because it helped develop me into the fighter I became.
Mm-hmm.
But reading about these guys and reading about their styles and then being able, there was a guy named Guy Quinta, something like that. He used to train fighters in Central Iceland. He used to have the full fight films on the reel.
Right.
He used to bring him to the gym and let us watch him, you know. Guy Quinta, that's his name. I used to watch him, and then I saw Jersey Joe Walcott and those guys, man, and
Hold on, man.
This is slick stuff. Man. This is what fighting's all about. Right. And then as I got older, you know, I just started with more and more guys. So it came from a little bit everywhere. I believe, you know, I was blessed. I was able to get it from all different people in the game.
That's right. And, you know, man, I tell a lot of people, I said, guys like you, Mike Tyson, a lot of these guys, you think, okay, they just get in the ring, but you guys, I mean, you're historians of the game. You watch guys fight. And a lot of people today, buddy, they think everything starts and ends with Floyd Mayweather. And
I try to tell
people, man, that's right. Give it to them.
Listen, there's a fighter by the name of Joe Gans.
That's right.
Joe Gans was doing a shoulder roll before anybody. If there's any young fighter out there that's listening to this show, and you really want to learn the shoulder roll, YouTube Georgie Benton, Bento.
That's right.
One of the greatest trainers in boxing.
Right.
YouTube Georgie Benton. He's fighting Hurricane Carter. Georgie has his left hand on his kneecap.
That's right.
He sits in the middle. He sits in the middle of the ring. Hurricane Carter threw 6 punches and missed 8.
Oh, my God. He missed 8 of them. Hey, you know what, man? A lot of people know Georgie Benton from Joe Frazier, but tell him, man, he was a hell of a fighter, man.
Man, Georgie, listen. Georgie was so slick. He was sitting in the middle of the ring or he sit on the ropes. You couldn't hit him.
No, absolutely not.
So any young fighter watching, YouTube Georgie Benton, and there's a thing on it that says tribute to Georgie Benton. You watch that, okay. And you might if you have any Mayweather tapes, you might rip them, might burn them. Georgie was the man.
Right.
He was the best at it.
That's right. I appreciate somebody with your knowledge saying that, because a lot of people don't realize that, man. These guys, they had to get it from somewhere, and they just didn't make it up the last 20 years. It's been there.
Man, listen, Jersey Joe Walcott, if you stand in front of him, man, you could hit him in the ass with a handful of rice. You know what I mean?
That's right.
These guys are geniuses, man. You know what I mean? And you know, you have to be a real boxing person to really understand that. You watch
absolutely.
They watch him, and you know they ask him, "What am I looking for?" I'm like, "You retard! You can't see what this man is doing."
That's right. Yep. I agree, man. And now, leading up as your career went on, and I don't know if people realize this, a lot of people don't. But I mean, I followed you a long time, but. Number one, you had a fantastic record before you ended, and you fought some of the best fighters in your era. I mean, you fought Livingston Bramble, Frankie Warren, Simon Brown, Whitaker twice, Mildred Taylor. How was it like going against these guys fight after fight, man?
I fought Mildred and Pennell. I wasn't worried about Mildred Pennell, to be honest to God, truth. I wasn't worried about them. I was worried about the trainer, George, man. I wasn't worried about them. I knew they couldn't beat me. But I knew that they was better than mine. Because of Georgie.
Okay.
Not because of this dude, because of Georgie.
Right.
You know what I mean? Georgie was a mess, man. You know, him and Ed Fudge and guys like that, you know, they're not in real. Those guys ain't around no more. But those guys were masters of the game.
Absolutely, man.
So, by them being masters of the game, really don't understand, man, what these guys brought to the table as trainers.
So in all actuality, you were not just fighting the fighter himself, but you were trying to dig into the mind of the trainer to counter his moves. Am I correct?
Exactly, because I always knew Georgie was a genius and the best I worked with. I mean, Georgie was a genius, and he was one of the greatest trainers ever. He didn't get he ran the whole thing, all those guys. Everybody with common sense was Georgie Bennett.
That's right.
I mean, Georgie made those guys champions.
That's right. Some of your fights I just spoke about, what would you consider to be some of your toughest opponents that you fought?
Well, my toughest, I would have to say, was Frankie Warren, the guy I won the title from.
Right.
Frankie Warren was the first guy to beat me as a pro, and the trainer was like a guy named Georgie Benton.
Wow.
So, after the fight, Georgie told me what I did wrong in the fight. I said, Georgie, what's up, buddy? I said, how you been? He said, great, man. He said, I miss you too. I said, but Georgie, guess what? He's like, well, buddy, I said, I remember what you told me a year and a half ago. I corrected my mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, shit. I said, oh, shit, it's right, Georgie.
Right. Man. I love him, man.
I love Georgie. To me, you know, guys like Kenny Fuchs, man, Dewey Fisher, masters, man, just masters of the game, master trainers. Like, you know, there's a guy in New York, man. My name is Jimmy Glenn.
Okay.
Jimmy Glenn is all the time. Owns a bar in Manhattan called Jimmy Glenn.
Hey, buddy, you lose a connection. What, you in the house? You walking around? Or?
Hey, did you hear the part about Jimmy Glenn?
Yeah, you went in and out.
Let me go back outside. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you a little better.
Okay, now.
I can hear you better.
Now, there's a guy in New York named Jimmy Glenn.
Okay.
Old school guy. was the greatest athlete in boxing. He owns Times Square Boxing Gym. Mm-hmm. He owns a bar called Jimmy's Corner in Manhattan on 44th between Brooklyn and 6th. Any fucking history you want to know about Jimmy Glenn.
Okay.
Many old trainers in New York, all the fighters, you know, any group of all of them, they were friends of Jimmy's. Jimmy took care of all his old fighters, man. You know, you get part of his bar, Jimmy's Corner on 44th
and
Broadway and 6th.
Yeah, and I got a lot of young guys who are listening to this now, and I'm glad you're speaking on this, man, because actually you give them a lot of history, and that's one thing I appreciate, because like you said, a lot of kids out here, and I'm from Baltimore, so that's where I'm at now, and yeah, man, you got a lot of kids on the street who look up to guys like you, and I'm trying to get them to listen in. That's why I'm so adamant about getting guys like you and Larry on the show. Because it's a history lesson. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Baltimore, I'm in D.C. I mean, you know, you got me and Jonathan there. You got Terry Hunter, who trained the Peterson boys. Those guys, they know their stuff, man.
Yes, they do, man.
You know, Ham Johnson, Barrett, they know their stuff, man. These young boys are going to pick their brains, man.
That's right, man.
Get all the knowledge they can.
That's right. Now, once you finished fighting, was that your ultimate goal to become a trainer? Because 2002, obviously, you were trainer of the year. But was that kind of where the path you wanted to go as far as, hey, I've been there, I've done that, now I want to train world-class fighters?
I'm going to tell you a true story. I started boxing January 17th, 1976. January 18th, 1966, I wanted to be a trainer.
I know that's right.
I wanted to be a trainer the day after I started boxing. Crazy.
Wow.
Trainers, that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I guess once you have it in you, it's just going to be in you for life, right?
Hey, man, that's what they say. So. But you know, I just checked the man. I've had a great run in the fighter. I was able to retire with all my wits. And my mom was a food drunk every now and then. But I'm happy, you know, and I get to see my kids grow, my grandkids. You know, and I have my wits about me. So to me, that's a blessing in itself.
Yes, it is. Now, you went on. I mean, you trained some great fighters, Antonio Tarver, Lamont Brewster, Toro Gotti. What was it like working with those guys? I mean, Antonio Tarver, you were with him. He beat Roy Jones twice. What was it like working with Antonio?
Well, you know what? It was great, of course. He was a hard worker. He was determined to prove people wrong. A lot of people said that he would be champion. Now, he won't be this, he won't be that. From the first day I saw him in the gym, to this kid got what it takes. I mean, and we had a great run, man. And, you know, we still speak. You know, he's still fighting, but we still fight. I love him. I have nothing bad to say about him ever. He's a great guy. He's a good human being. You know, he's a loyal guy. I will say that. That's one thing
that's
I really love about him. He's very loyal. You know, he sticks by his feet to his people. And he's a man.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's right. And I guess from a lot of fight fans, the late Arturo Gatti, who was very popular with his style or whatever, what was it like? And now everyone knows how close you guys were. What was it like working with him?
I mean, because he's taking a guy who was a dumb, and you're trying to make him understand, listen, okay?
I think you're breaking up again, buddy. You're breaking up a little bit, man.
I mean, you got your blood in the ring every time you fight.
Right.
So,
and was that hard just to get him to break from that cycle? Because it was fights, man. He really uses boxing skill, but then when he got into it, he just kind of snapped, you know, and went back into, hey, I got to win this. And, you know, was it hard getting him, trying to get him out of that?
Not really, because it was a time of his life he felt he needed change.
Okay.
He was willing to listen. So, like, you know, I would listen and get to the play golf. You could do one of the things when you could go home and put ice on your face. You could even go play golf. What would you rather do? He said, I want to play golf.
I said,
to me, you go play golf. And he listened.
I heard that.
He's been listening.
Man, that's all right. Now, are there any fighters you have, like, right now coming, that you have any upcoming events or fighters that, you know, to be on the lookout for?
I'm working with a bunch of young guys that are coming up. So give me about 6 months and I'll be able to give you my info.
Okay. That's all right. Right. That's all right. Man, yeah, I'll tell you what, it's been, I don't want to hold you too long because I know it took some time out of your schedule, man. I really appreciate you coming on the show. And like I say every week, I'm just starting. And to have a guy like you still adds to my credibility as far as trying to get myself out there. And I really appreciate it. And I hope you come back on again, man. I mean, the stories that you probably could tell me for 2 days, but I wish I had more time.
Appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate it, man.
You got it.
All right, bud.
Yeah.
All right. That was a great James Buddy McGirt. I'm sorry about the connection. He's told me earlier that he'd be on the cell phone on the go. So excuse the connection. But, I mean, for somebody to still call in like that because he said he was going to keep his word and come on, I'd rather have it be a iffy kind of connection than to not come through at all. So I really appreciate it. And like I said, these guys have really, you know, blessed me with their time, and I really appreciate it. And he touched on something really cool about Georgie Benton. Georgie Benton was a great trainer, and I don't know if you guys know, like he said, he was a trainer of Joe Frazier and, you know, some of the other great Philadelphia fighters. And if you look at this classic Philadelphia style, they have, some of them have a classic shoulder roll. You have it from Bernard Hopkins sometime. Even Joe Frazier, he had the famous shell style that Philly fighters had. But you get the point that what he was trying to say, in that the history, the knowledge of these older guys, a lot of kids should take and really soak it in. He touched on his fight with Mildred Taylor and how he was just not fighting him, but his respect for Georgie Benton, he was actually going against the trainer as well. But if you look at the who's who of the guys he's fought, Mildred Taylor, Pernell Whitaker, Simon Brown, Pernell Whitaker was a controversial decision, and many feel that Pernell Whitaker was one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the 80s and 90s, but Frankie Warren was a tough guy, so it was really cool that he came on. And he also trains out of the famed Gleason's Gym in Brooklyn, New York, so it's a lot of history in that conversation. I know it was a little muffled, but for the people who stuck in, I'm glad you did. If you listen to it on archive, please try to hang in there and listen to what, you know, the man was saying, because he's really dropping some knowledge in a short period of time. So, you know, you guys get a chance, listen to it again or whatever, but it's pretty cool. But I got a few minutes left in the show if you guys want to call in, anybody want to talk about anything. If you want to talk about the interview, please feel free to call in. Very interesting. I said, and I wanted to get back to Floyd. He was saying something about fighting Oscar De La Hoya, which I think would be ridiculous at this point. I don't know. That would just be like a money grab, and that would kind of take away from his legacy as far as I'm concerned, because if you're going to go out with your last fight, make it a bang. You got a lot of guys who are willing to fight him in the prime of their career. Triple G, I don't know if he's going to go that route, because if they fight at 154, I don't know if he wants to deal with that as far as Triple G is concerned, even though I think that would be a great fight because Willie Monroe gave Triple G some headaches in the first few rounds, but Triple G, you know, got rid of him. Big fight coming up, probably September, October, Canelo and Miguel Cotto, which is creating a huge buzz already. I think that'll be one of the bigger drawing fights in recent memory, because you got two popular fighters, one of Mexican descent, the other one of Puerto Rican descent, who are both a very proud boxing history. So looking forward to that update. But in the meantime, if you want to talk about anything, don't be shy. Call the number 718-305-6496, 718-305-6496. We still got a few minutes left in the show. I was planning to have him just come on for about 15 minutes, but as you see, he stayed for over half an hour, so I really appreciated that. And I'll have him back on periodically to talk about some of the bigger fights coming up. Again, you want to call the show? 718-305-6496. Also, if you have anything to talk about as far as the NBA draft, feel free to call in. You have some potential number one picks and Okafor, Cauley Stein from Kentucky. So it's still up in the air. I don't know what these teams are going to do. To me, it's no overwhelming or, I guess, franchise-changing player in the draft to me. There's no Patrick Ewing or Olajuwon, or as good as some of these young big guys are, they're nowhere near the talent of, you know, the Ewing, Olajuwon, Shaq. So, but as far as what they are in today's game, defensive players, rebounders, they could make a difference on a team, but there's no real franchise player, in my opinion. So, yeah. Again, if you'd like to call in, or I could talk for the last 10 minutes, I'm good with that. So I've noticed that I've been getting a lot of listeners, but a lot of people, I guess, you know, just want to listen, don't want to call in. Please, don't feel free to call in. Anything you want to talk about, come on, call in. But other than that, also have football, which, like I stated earlier, is a 12-month-a-year kind of thing. And so football at this point never takes the off season. We got baseball tonight. Things are heating up as we speak. You got right now, as I'm looking at the scores, you got the Angels in Houston, top of the ninth, 1-1. That's very interesting. You had Cleveland beating Detroit today, 8-2. You had Toronto beating Tampa Bay, 1-0. The Yankees topped the Phillies. I tell you what, and I said this last week, there hasn't been a worse team in baseball than the Phillies probably since my Little League days. I mean, these guys are horrendous, and they're not being beat like 3-2 or 6-4. They need an 8-run rule for these guys, but nevertheless, a major league team. Minnesota beat the White Sox today, 6-1. Tonight, you got Atlanta and Washington. You have the Dodgers in Chicago. So that ought to be interesting. So we'll keep the lines open for you guys. We're looking to the division leaders. We have Tampa Bay is up a game on the Yankees, 2 over the Baltimore Orioles, 2 over the Blue Jays. Boston Red Sox are 9 games behind. And I don't know if they're playing for a draft pick or what at this point, but how quickly times have changed for that. In the Central, you got the Kansas City Royals on top, 3 games over Minnesota Twins, who was a very surprising team. So that's a good look for them. Houston, who's come from nowhere, they're 4 games up in the West, and they're really playing some great baseball. Over in the National League, you have the Nationals 2.5 games up on the Mets, who are at 500, 36-36. Miami Marlins, 8.5 back with the Phillies, already 13.5 games back, and they only played 74 games. So that shows you the kind of team they have. In the Central, the Cardinals, who have the best record in baseball at 46-24, and every year they just seem to bring it. So, and out West, you have the Dodgers, game over San Francisco, I'm sorry. So, yeah, if you want to call in, talk about it. We have a couple minutes left in the show. But, yeah, it was really great having James Buddy McGirt on. If you didn't get a chance to hear him, please go on to the archive of Chilling with Cheese, blogtalkradio.com, and check it out. Or you can go on my website, chillingwithcheese.com. Next couple weeks, I got a big surprise plan. I can't say it right now because I don't want to jinx it, but I may be taking my show on the road again, so please stay posted to all the updates and information I might have for you. If you don't know, you can also go on to Chilling with Cheese. I have some links on there. You can get some discounts at Feli.com, Fathead, Hollybird Sports. And you go on there, you get free some great discounts that you would not otherwise get. Just go through my website, and it has some special deals running every single day. So please log on. Again, it's Feli.com, Vegas.com. You get your great hotels. You get great show tickets at a great price. So feel free. I have Fandango. If you're going to movies, get your tickets through there. You get great prices. So, but yeah, we got about a minute left in the show. But again, I would like to thank James Buddy McGirt for coming through. Next week, I have a guest plan. Again, I don't want to jinx that. It's a great guest coming on the show. So to keep the ball rolling. But I don't want to jinx it yet, but with my updates, I'll give you guys more information as the week comes. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, I really appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to the show again. I'll be back next Wednesday at 6, and we'll try to keep the ball rolling. Don't be shy next week. Please, folks, call in the show if you want to talk about anything. So until then, I appreciate you guys coming through and checking it out. So, peace.